Chapter 8, Where and How to Find Opportunity. Finding opportunity at the edges. When you look at the origin stories of the most famous entrepreneurs, you also often find that they discovered opportunity at the edge of acceptability, culture, and even legality. Steve Jobs started out building blue boxes, which were devices you could use to make free, also known as illegal, long-distance telephone calls from phone booths. Steve also famously used LSD and said that it was one of the most important experiences of his life. Apple's software and user interface bear the distinctive mark of psychedelically inspired design. Google was built on things like being a better pornography search engine and on placing advertisements in their search results that most people didn't know were paid ads that sent money to Google if you clicked on them. YouTube was built on content that was being published illegally by hordes of users. Uber was built by doing things that were illegal in many of the cities in which they operated. Mark Zuckerberg's original college software project was called FaceMash, which was a site that allowed you to rank the attractiveness of other students at Harvard. He was accused of violating privacy, copyright, and security rules. Each of these early experiments went on to lead to massive success for each of the enterprising entrepreneurs involved. Each was vindicated that what they were building was ultimately worth the risks because they were seeing the future in some way that others weren't. When I wrote my first book, Double Your Dating, I was teaching men about how to succeed with women in dating. There was something about this that felt edgy and risky. It still does. The war of the sexes is real, and teaching men how to go from socially awkward to charming and attractive requires some courage. People are sometimes offended by the advice that I offer men, but that's part of the price you have to pay to do something innovative. And fortunately, most of the stories I hear from men are stories of success in finding partners, marrying the love of their lives, building families, etc., so the long-term payoff has been overall very positive. If you want access to the biggest potential opportunities, you must be willing to dance on the edge a little more than most people. It takes courage to believe in what you're doing enough to risk offending people or doing things that are about to become legal. But the lessons of history are filled with stories of entrepreneurs who did just this and won in the long run. Later, we'll learn about increasing the number of tests, experiments, and small bets in your life and business, and how in the long run this turns out to be a good strategy. For now, remember that if you want to discover and develop the biggest opportunities, it will require you to be at the edge of your comfort zone and at the edge of the comfort zones of potentially a lot of other people as well. Remember, the edge is where opportunity lives. Learn to become more comfortable at the edge, and you'll find yourself surrounded by a lot more wonderful opportunities. Opportunity shopping. Does opportunity come to you, or do you have to go out and find it? By now, you've probably noticed that I prefer to go out looking for opportunity and that I take a proactive approach to opportunity discovery. I think that the most empowering stance toward opportunity is that it is unlimited and that it is growing all the time. But even though opportunity is abundant, we must go out and intentionally look for it if we want to discover those opportunities that are best for us as individuals, and even those opportunities that are best for groups and communities that we are members of. It's a balance that we must strike. We must know that opportunity is everywhere, but we must also go out and look for it. It's about seeing opportunity all around, but only selecting and developing those opportunities that are best for us. It's about keeping an open mind about doing new things, but also focusing on those opportunities that will bring the most benefit. Annie and I were in Boulder, Colorado recently, and we were in a part of town that we were unfamiliar with. It was about 9 p.m. at night and dark outside. We saw a grocery store and decided that we would pick up a few things if it happened to be open. As we walked around the outside of the store, we couldn't quite tell if it was open. The lights were down low and there were only a few cars in the lot. We walked toward the front door thinking more and more that it was probably closed, but as we got closer, to our surprise, the front door opened automatically. As we walked in, it was obvious that we were likely the only ones in the store. They were about to close for the night. We walked into the fresh produce section. It had been stocked right before we got there. Every shelf, every rack, every table was full of fruits and vegetables. Refrigerated cases were packed full of brightly colored chard, beets, and leafy greens. Tables and bins were stacked high with strawberries, apples, squash, onions, and every other imaginable fruit and vegetable. I stood there looking around, not even knowing where to start. It was the greatest concentration of fresh, beautiful, amazing produce that I had ever seen. In a flash, I imagined what it would be like to bring a prehistoric human into this store with me. I imagined taking someone who spent most of their day looking for food into a room like this that had enough food to feed everyone in their tribe many times over. Food that was grown using the best methods, using the highest quality seeds, most of it organic, then picked when it was perfectly ripe, washed, and prepared for display to make it appear most attractively. My guess is that this prehistoric human would have been awestruck and possibly overwhelmed by the sight. They might have gone to get their family and friends and just sat in the middle of the room laughing at the sight. I stood there in that room looking around and realized that this level of concentrated, diverse opportunity was completely outside of what early humans would have encountered in their day-to-day lives. And this has become a metaphor for how I think about the increasing opportunity that's all around us. Most of us can walk or drive to a town or part of a city where we have essentially unlimited options for high-quality, freshly prepared gourmet food. We can shop through an unlimited number of fashionable, low-priced clothing options. We can access almost anyone online to learn things and engage in dialogue. We have a choice between millions of songs, videos, and movies to watch. It's a lot to deal with. The produce in that grocery store is there every day for anyone who goes there looking for it. In order for that store to be a real opportunity for you, though, you have to have a mission of what you need and why you need it. You have to know what types of meals you're going to prepare and which of the foods you need as ingredients. Then when you walk in, everything makes more sense. When you know what you're trying to do, then it becomes easier to work with the myriad of different items that you'll encounter. Of course, as you walk through the grocery store, you'll also see new options that you weren't considering, and sometimes one of them will jump out at you as something to get as well. But you're approaching the entire situation with a selective eye. Another aspect of the metaphor is the stance toward the availability and the abundance of the resources in the store. If you walk into the store thinking that you're an unlucky person who isn't deserving of the food inside, you might walk through without even looking around. Maybe you think that the food in this store is too good for you, and that you're the kind of person who only buys groceries in the discount grocery store across town. You might walk into this store with a friend and be internally mocking everyone who's shopping there, and miss out on the new ideas and new foods that could be very beneficial or enjoyable to you. The way you experience the grocery store is related to how you see yourself and how you see life. As you go looking for opportunity, and as you begin designing your life to optimize for increasing the quality and quantity of opportunities that you encounter and produce, I think that it's important to maintain a stance toward that opportunity the way you would walking into that grocery store full of groceries. You don't need it all, and you don't want it all. In fact, there's so much that you can only hope to leave with a tiny, tiny fraction of what's there to bring back to your world and use in your life. The grocery shopping metaphor helps us get a felt sense or transmission of how to approach and work with the opportunity that is available to us in our lives. There's more out there than you could ever possibly need or use. So much, in fact, that you can't even look at or consider most of it. Opportunity is often found gathered or congregated in particular places, the way groceries are found concentrated in grocery stores. If you go to these places, you'll find it as abundant as you'll find vegetables at the market. When you find it, relax a bit and don't get too excited or overwhelmed. Remind yourself that this is the way things are and that it's up to you to discover and create the very best opportunities for yourself and for those you care about. When you spot an opportunity that looks exciting, lean back a little bit, take a few breaths, and remind yourself to be selective. Don't let the overabundance of opportunity overwhelm or immobilize you. If you find yourself getting too excited, take a break and go do something to distract yourself. Then come back later with a fresh mind. When you go shopping for opportunity, bring a short list with you and stay open to seeing something amazing that you didn't anticipate. And be selective. Curate the best for yourself, and you'll find opportunity growing in quality and quantity around you for the long term. Go out looking. I grew up in a rural town in Oregon, about 30 minutes outside of the local city of Eugene. My parents were hippies who grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and their idea of making it in life was to live on a farm. So they left their home and their families in their early 20s with a 2-year-old child, and they moved to Oregon. We had very little income, and my family was on and off government assistance as I was growing up. Maybe once or twice a week, we would go into town, meaning we would drive to the city of Eugene. My father was someone who did not have the ability to pass by a garage sale sign without stopping. I grew up going to secondhand stores, garage sales, and junkyards regularly. My father would pick through everything and usually find something to take home with us. Every once in a while, he would find a treasure. He would often buy broken televisions and then bring them home and fix them. One time, he found a personal computer in a secondhand store for a few dollars. When I was in my late teens, I continued this pattern, and I would stop at garage sales and secondhand stores myself. One day, I stopped at a garage sale and found a stereo system with a large pair of speakers. I asked how much for the set, and the owner said $150. I was into music and stereo equipment, and I knew right away that the speakers alone were worth thousands of dollars. I was so happy when I got those speakers, and I enjoyed them for years. Another time, I went to a Goodwill store in Eugene, and I found a set of cassette tapes produced by a real estate seminar speaker that I had recently seen speaking on stage. I couldn't believe my luck. Instead of the normal price of probably $100 or so, they were $1. I took those tapes with me to my job, and I listened to them while I was working. I got so many creative ideas from those audio sessions. In fact, I went back several times to that same store, and a few weeks later, I found another set of tapes from the same person, again for $1. I was so impressed with this teacher that I called his company and started making friends with his telemarketers on the phone. I eventually talked the company into hiring me to do audiovisual for their seminars, and this opened the door for me to learn about sales, marketing, and information products, which changed the course of my life. You have to go looking for opportunity. I mentioned earlier that I went looking recently for a new headset to use for calls. Lately, I've been frustrated with my computer headsets. I have multiple expensive headsets, but each of them has a problem. My $350 wireless headphones that I love won't work with some programs for calls. My fancy USB headset that was also expensive makes a hissing sound. My earbuds work pretty well, but the microphone hangs low and isn't good for recordings. I finally decided a few weeks ago to find a better solution. I went online and read reviews and bought a few new models to try. After trying them all out, I found one that I love, the Logitech H151. It plugs straight into my headphone jack, and it always works with every program every time. It doesn't need an adapter like my USB headset, it doesn't need to be recharged, and it's comfortable. But the real surprise was the sound. I'm into audio equipment, and I own a few pairs of expensive headphones. The stereo headphones in this headset were wonderful. I was shocked when I heard them. I can actually listen to music on them and have a great experience. And this headset was $12, a tiny fraction of the cost of my other headsets. In my life, I have found that when it's time to find a solution or get something done or reach a goal, if I go out looking, I will find the opportunity. It's always there, but you have to go looking. Being proactive in life is a winning strategy overall, and it's doubly true when it comes to opportunity. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Where and how to find opportunity? Successful entrepreneurs find opportunity at the edges of culture, evolution, and even social acceptability. Steve Jobs started out building illegal blue boxes to make long-distance phone calls for free. Mark Zuckerberg got in trouble at Harvard for building software that allowed students to rate the attractiveness of other students. Uber violated rules in many cities with their platform. Opportunity doesn't just come to you. Instead, you must go out looking for it. It pays to go out and look at all of the options available to you in order to develop your sense of value and your intuition about opportunities. Often the best opportunities and values are available for less money or other investment simply because no one is out looking. You can be the one to find these opportunities and get the benefit of them. Where have you seen success created by someone who was willing to take a risk and color outside the lines in life? What is a domain where you'd like to find or create more opportunity, where you could go out and start looking and shopping to see everything that's available? Where have you discovered an opportunity to get something for a bargain price or even free that others would have paid a lot more for?